to discuss the recommendations issued by the Labour Court following the suspension of strike action, and Dublin is among the top 10 most livable cities in the world for Europeans. Now it's over to Ross Lindsay for this morning's sport.
News Talk and offtheball.com.
Brought to you by Spirit Sayat Sandyford. Take the all-new Tarraco for an extended test drive. SpiritSayat.ie.
Good morning. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has described Manchester United's Champions League defeat to Paris Saint-Germain as a reality check. The French champions recorded an impressive 2-0 victory in a last 16 first leg at Old Trafford last night. Paul Pogba will miss the second leg following a late sending off for a second bookable offence. The club could also face a UEFA investigation after fans threw bottles at former United winger Angel Di Maria. It's United's first defeat since Solskjaer took charge, and the Norwegian says his players must learn from the performance.
We want to be at the top, and Man United should be at the top, and this is a top team that we played against. And our players today, disappointed after the game, of course, but I also think they know that we need to step up our level to get to the level we want to get to.
Teenage striker Nicola Zaniola hit the back of the net twice as Roma beat Porto 2-1 at the Stadio Olimpico last night. The 19-year-old is the youngest Italian player to score two goals in a Champions League game, and he was signed from Inter Milan during the summer for just €4.5 million. Borussia Dortmund are without captain Marco Reus and Paco Alcacer for their match against Tottenham tonight. The defending champions Real Madrid play the first leg of their last 16 encounter against Ajax in Amsterdam. University College Cork remain on course for a record 39th Fitzgibbon Cup title. A Chris O'Leary penalty in added time of extra time secured a 217-22 points victory over DCU and Waterford last night. UCC will now face the winner of tomorrow's semi-final between Mary Immaculate and NUIG. And there's a 7-race card at Ferry House this afternoon, with the first going to the post at 1:35, while racing resumes in the UK following the 6-day shutdown due to the outbreak of equine flu. For offtheball.com on News Talk, I'm Ross Lindsay.
News Talk weather.
Thanks to Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open in Tala Retail Centre on the Belgard Road. DesKelly.ie.
Largely dry today with just a few patches of drizzle and rain. Highest temperatures 11 to 13 degrees. I'll have more for you with Shane on News Talk Breakfast at 7. But now it's time for Vincent Wall on Breakfast Business.
Breakfast Business.
With Enterprise Ireland. The outcome of Brexit may not be a given. Preparing for it should be. Prepareforbrexit.ie.
It's 6:32, you're welcome to Breakfast Business with Vincent Wall. Coming up on this morning's programme, the Guinness Enterprise Centre on its plans to double in size and to support the creation of hundreds of new startups and micro-enterprise jobs in Dublin 8. Veteran telecoms entrepreneur Sean Bulger on his company imagines ambitious national rollout plans for fixed wireless mobile broadband services. And we review latest developments on the markets. First, a quick look at some of the stories making headlines this morning. John Mulligan in the Irish Independent writes that Ireland's tax system continues to penalise risk takers and the country's in danger of being left behind in a new wave of global digital entrepreneurship. That's according to aviation executive Donald Slattery. In a warning to government, he was talking at an Enterprise Ireland event yesterday. He said, we need a tax structure that allows risk-taking to flourish, and we need a capital gains mechanism that doesn't send our startups elsewhere. We need tax-efficient ways to aid entrepreneurs attract high-quality employees appropriately incentivized, added Mr. Slattery. And Sean Bulger, who's sitting here beside me, is nodding his head furiously. In the Irish Times, Barry O'Halloran writes that Dairy Co-op Lakelands moved closer to a takeover of rival Lakpatrick after one of two regulators scrutinising the deal gave an initial indication it would have no impact on competition. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority, which is investigating the transaction as both co-ops have operations in Northern Ireland, has lifted an enforcement order imposed while it began investigating the deal. And still in the agri-sector, Kerrygold has launched a global advertising campaign as part of a major expansion drive for food exports, according to Peter Hamilton of the Irish Times. Some 34 new product launches in the Kerrygold range form part of our newest strategy to build it into a €1 billion global dairy brand in the coming years. Now, coming up, make mine a double. Guinness Enterprise Centre's plans for expansion, and imagine that you've got a good broadband service. Sean Bulger on his company imagines plans to turn hopes into reality. Stay tuned.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR, Ireland's first and only mobile network to launch Wi-Fi calling, eliminating coverage black spots in your home or office.
They were friends in school and played football together. Started their first car dealership together. Now the two Seans, Lillis and O'Donnell, are teaming up to bring you the ultimate Ford experience. The new Spirit Lillis O'Donnell at Baldonnell Business Park. Sean's Ford Car Sales at Red Cow Junction is joining Sean's Ford Commercial Centre. So, everything you want is now in one place. Whether it's a Ford car, a van, servicing or parts. Drop in and say hi. The new Spirit Lillis O'Donnell, now open in Baldonnell Business Park.
Now you have three great reasons to switch your family to VHI Healthcare. We're leading the way in family healthcare with our member-only access to VHI Swiftcare clinics, faster access to our VHI pediatric clinic, and now you can get 25% off all kids under 18 on all our one plans until February 28th. Switch today. Call 1890-44444 or search VHI One Plans. VHI Healthcare. When you need us, we're there. Terms and conditions apply. VHI Healthcare DAC trading as VHI Healthcare is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland and is tied to VHI Insurance DAC for health insurance in Ireland.
This Valentine's Day at Boots, get them something that says you get them and save 15% on selected luxury beauty and fragrance like Giorgio Armani C and Lancôme Livy Ebelle. Find these and more Valentine's Day offers in-store and online. Boots, let's feel good. Ends 14th February, subject to availability, larger Boots stores and boots.ie.
Here's another useful business tip from My Taxi Business. Don't try to do too many things at once. Figure out your identity as a company and stick with that. Trying to do too many things rather than focusing on what you're good at can have an adverse effect on customer service. Now that's smart business from My Taxi Business.
At The Perfume Shop, we have the perfect Valentine's gift. One for her. Gucci Bamboo. Only €40 for a 50 mil, saving €37 off the RRP while stocks last. Join our rewards club to earn points, perks and privileges with every purchase, in-store or online at theperfumeshop.com. Offer ends 14th February.
Wake up to stylish surroundings with O'Callaghan Collection. Newly designed, perfectly located hotels in the heart of Dublin city centre. Perfect for every occasion. Visit O'CallaghanCollection.com.
Breakfast Business.
With Enterprise Ireland. The outcome of Brexit may not be a given. Preparing for it should be. Prepareforbrexit.ie.
It's 6:37, you're listening to Breakfast Business with Vincent Wall. The Guinness Enterprise Centre, the near 20-year-old facility in Dublin 8 that represents home to 85 start-up and micro-enterprises and 400 employees, has sought planning permission to double in size. And the centre's chairman, David Varian, joins us now on the phone. David, you're going to go up two stories, provide a lot more room in the centre?
That's right, Vincent. Good morning to you. Indeed, as you mentioned there, the Enterprise Centre has been around for nearly 20 years. It was established in the year 2000. And our purpose is to provide the environment and all the necessary supports to enable early stage businesses to grow and to prosper. And you know, what we do in the centre is we create this, what we call unique environment, where entrepreneurs can thrive. And we help them to create their business plans, market strategies. We help them to get investor ready, secure necessary funding. And I suppose, in effect, really, what we do is we help them to reach their dreams and ambitions around their companies. And you know, it has been very successful over the last 20 years. We've created over 4,500 jobs since that time. And building on that success, what we've done now is we've applied for planning permission to effectively double the size of the GEC, where it'll be home to 160 companies, 220 co-working spaces.
And it's going to involve a €10 million investment, Davian, David. I presume the same stakeholders that have been involved from the start, Diageo, Enterprise Ireland, Dublin City Council.
That's right. I mean, it was started up, as I say, in 2000. Diageo, Dublin City Council, Enterprise Ireland, Dublin City Enterprise Office, Dublin Business Innovation Centre were the stakeholders then, and they are the stakeholders now. And the funding that we've got for this is through a number of sources, through government, through the Department of Enterprise and Innovation, through their Regional Enterprise Development Fund. We have a loan that's guaranteed by Dublin City Council, And then we've got contributions from the Guinness Workers Employment Fund, Dublin Business Innovation Centre, and indeed from our own reserves.
And this has implications not just for Dublin-based micro-enterprises, David. The facility allows networking for people coming up from the regions who may need to spend some time or need a bit of space in the place.
That's right. What we do is we partner with 40 regional hubs across Ireland. And the idea there is that when in Dublin, these companies who operate in these hubs, that they can use the GEC as their office. And we also then allow them to have access to a lot of the programs that are in the, that we have in the GEC. For example, one of the programs that we've had some great success with is our partnering with our universities around the world. In fact, this last year, we were voted number one business incubator in the world for collaborating with universities. And that was, we got that award at the World Incubation Summit last February in Toronto. And what that means is that if you're a startup company in the GEC, or indeed if you're a startup company in one of the hubs using the GEC as your Dublin home, and you've got business issues that you want to try and resolve, we connect you with these leading universities with their MBA programs, so you've got the best I guess brains in the world working on your problems to help you to grow your business. So you know, that's an example of the type of networking that we enable these companies to have.
Very briefly, David, and you're David. I keep calling you David. David, you're submitting the planning application this week. When do you hope to have the facility completed?
We're working on a basis of about 2 years from now. Once it goes through its planning process, through building, and then fitting out. So we hope to be operational in 2 years' time.
Okay, well, the best of luck for that, with that, and thanks for taking our call this morning. That's David Varian, Chairman of the Guinness Enterprise Centre Board. Well, broadband, the quality of it, the lack of it, and private and public plans to deliver it dominate the headlines almost as much as that other contentious B-word, Brexit. This morning, veteran telecoms entrepreneur Sean Bulger and his company Imagine Communications will roll out their own ambitious broadband delivery plans. And Sean Bulger joins us in studio. It's 20 years since I saw you, Sean.
Long time.
Welcome back and good to see you.
Thank you.
This is a plan for fixed wireless broadband service. Over the next 18 months to 2 years, you say you're going to deliver a service that will deliver a capacity for 150 megabits of high-quality broadband service to regional and rural Ireland.
That's correct. Delighted, really, to be here. Good to see you after all this time. The plan is very simple. You have said, yes, it's wireless. We're using the very latest 5G technology to deliver a very high-speed broadband service. There has been other broadband services in the past that use wireless, and people will be familiar with mobile, but this is completely different. It uses all the same technologies and the very latest 5G technologies, which is going to support massive capacity. And rather than having to put in fibre into homes, this is now the primary way around the world for some of the major telecoms companies to basically bring fibre to a mast, and then you're able to connect, you know, hundreds of homes using this very latest technology. And that just makes it really fast to deliver, and which is why we can do what we're doing. We will roll out the network. We've already started to roll out the network. It's already live. It will be live in 155 locations around the country by June this year. And we'll have basically nationwide coverage by June next year with 300 sites.
Now, people living in rural areas and small towns have heard these promises before, sure, particularly in terms of fibre to their homes.
Yeah.
And we all know the contentious delays on the National Broadband Plan. You know, how can they be confident that in 18 months' time, somebody living in a remote part of Donegal or West Cork can tap into your service if they want it or if they see it as good value?
Well, first of all, we do expect it to be good value. It's, it is a very high-speed broadband. We are rolling out initially at 150 meg. Today, we're capable of doing 300 meg, and that's going to go to the standard. The global standard for 5G is actually goes up to 10 gigabits.
Now, to put that into context, the minimum standard for the National Broadband Plan is 30 meg.
That's correct. In fairness, so when that standard was put in place for the National Broadband Plan, it was a number of years ago, and things have moved in there, moved on. And also, the government also did take a view that they did look ahead and said, look, that's not going to be enough, and they went for a fibre to the home solution, which has been what's been proposed. So I know there's a lot of criticism about the National Broadband Plan, but the National Broadband Plan is, you know, the fundamental problem that everybody has with fibre to the home is the long time it takes to deliver. So you will be aware of lots of announcements over the last number of years, many press releases of billions being invested. But the reality is, at this stage, there's only 75,000 people on fibre to the home. So it's not a problem. It's not an issue for the National Broadband Plan. It's an issue of the technology. And what we're doing is basically, and what's happening around the world is people have realised this now, like Google Fiber in the US was rolling out fibre, and now they've stopped and said, look, there's a smarter way to do it. Technology moves on and changes.
So are you saying then that there is no need for the National Broadband Plan as currently envisaged to try to bring fibre to every home and premises around the country, no matter how remote, that basically the objective needs to be radically amended, that we can get to most people's homes in rural areas through fixed wireless?
I think, first of all, I think it's very important, the National Broadband Plan. I was on the task force for the high-speed broadband task force set up by the government, and we came up with a very good plan. That plan was based on the technologies available at the time. People are very critical. There's a lot of issues around the National Broadband Plan at the moment, and, you know, the critical issue is it's critically important for the country. And strategically, as we look forward into the digital era and with 5G even, having a very good fibre backhaul infrastructure is essential.
Well, when you say a backhaul infrastructure, you mean a fibre infrastructure to most large users like hospitals or large businesses, and perhaps to central areas like mass sites where companies like yours can then transmit the signal effectively wirelessly to individual homes.
Absolutely. I think the critical thing and our position on the National Broadband Plan, we've been very vocal about that. We are engaged with all stakeholders. We have met with the government and the department, told them what our plans are. And in fairness, people are looking at this, their job is to basically make sure that everybody gets high-speed broadband. So it's fine. AIR makes announcements. Imagine makes announcements. We've got to go and deliver on that. We have to deliver and we have to provide. And the government is in a situation where over the last number of years, it has to continuously look to ensure that people will invest. I think it's really important that you know that if we didn't have a National Broadband Plan initially, you'd have to question what investment would have been made by other companies. So
yeah,
I think we are winning.
But that is history, and I take that point. Yeah. But your plan, and AIR announced plans earlier this week to roll out fibre to 1,400 premises, 1.4 million premises around the country over the next 5 years. But sticking to your plan, which you can talk about, is your plan to basically provide fixed wireless, high quality, high speed, 5G enabled broadband service to remote and regional areas? Basically, does that not cause a fundamental rethinking of what the National Broadband Plan requires to do?
We're going to deliver the service. We're going to roll it out. What's important is that customers get service, and people are waiting a long time for this. The important difference between what we're doing and previous announcements that AIR has made it, upgraded its network before. It's now looking and talking about upgrading it again. And that just shows you the pace of where the copper network, which most people in the country are on, it's 1.6 million people outside of the main cities, and the primary technology is copper. So that's why they're upgrading it. But we all have to go and deliver on this. What we're doing different is our investment is in the areas where other people aren't investing.
But
who have the worst broadband at this point in time.
But regional and rural Ireland will include a lot of small towns around the country.
Yeah,
and
sure.
AIR says it's going to target that in its new broadband rollout as well. So basically, are you in a race with them? You with your fixed wireless technology, they with their fibre?
I think what customers and consumers listening to this today would like to know that there's competition. Because competition makes people invest, they make people deliver, and they make the prices go down for customers. So yes, we're all going to compete, and that's what the whole objective of the National Broadband Plan was, to stimulate competition. So the two things in the National Broadband Plan was to stimulate competition. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. And basically what's important for people to realise today is we have a technology that can actually deliver very quickly, very fast, very high-speed broadband. And what we're doing is bringing it to the areas that really need it most.
And you have been given spectrum for 5G technology. The service you're going to roll out over the next 18 months, 2 years, you say will be 5G enabled. Although a lot of the devices required to fully activate 5G aren't in place yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are renowned and recognised in the world as one of the leaders in terms of 4G and 5G fixed broadband, which is completely different to mobile. So it's exclusively for home broadband use. Mobile broadband can't do this because they share their capacity between thousands of users. But the 5G spectrum, yes, 5G is the next generation. Ireland is very, very lucky. The spectrum was released in 2017. So we're ahead of the world on this, and this is reflected in the investment that we're making today. But in terms of being 5G ready, yes, the network we're building is completely 5G ready, which means all the hardware that we're putting out there is all 5G ready. And all we're waiting for now is the release of the from the standards body of the 5G software and the hardware, which will all come on stream. But we're only starting a journey here. I mean, today we can do 300 meg broadband. By the end of this year, you're looking at a gigabit. But what we're talking about is massive capacity. But that doesn't mean home users will use it. Home users want a good quality broadband service.
And you'll deliver it to remote and regional Ireland within 18 months?
Within 18 months, yeah.
How are you funding this? The giant infrastructure fund Brookfield invested in, imagine, last year. I'm told you're going to announce today it's a €400 million investment plan. Is Brookfield the principal funder of it?
Everybody else seems to know more about what I'm going to announce today than I do, when you look at what's been printed. No, the initial investment that we're going to make is about €300 million. That'll be the overall project cost for the initial rollout. And we'll then look at it from that point of view. One of the things that happened, and we are conscious of, is when we roll out the 54 sites, the demand was so high that we had to actually accelerate build in certain areas. So, you know, we connected 20,000 customers. We've been providing that service for the last 2 years, and that's been the basis on which we've been able to test all the various technologies. So,
and what are you charging homes for a comprehensive broadband service?
So comprehensive broadband service plus your home, unlimited 150 meg broadband plus home phone plus calls is $59.99, which is extremely competitive compared to today. A lot of the people in those areas are paying 65, 70 euro for a basic broadband and telephone line. So, you know, this is very competitively priced.
You have no doubt that the demand will be there throughout the country if the service is rolled out.
We have no doubt. We have 20,000 people who are waiting to get on where we've already rolled out the sites, and I think the demand is huge. People have been waiting a long time, and we're just part of the solution here.
John Bulger of Imagine, thanks for coming in to talk to us this morning. Coming up, Chris Beecham of IG on Markets. Stay tuned.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
Get the latest News Talk podcasts at newstalk.com and on the News Talk app.
Discover LG OLED televisions at Power City. The much sought-after range delivers ultimate picture quality. For more information and a full LG demonstration, call to Power City today.
Here's another useful business tip from My Taxi Business. If you're trying to grow your business but aren't in a position to take on new staff or upskill your current ones, outsourcing to freelancers could really help. Using freelancers can be a fantastic way to increase your revenue without increasing your overheads. Now that's smart business from My Taxi Business.
The Electric Ireland Sigerson Fitzgibbon and Higher Education Championships. One small window in the GAA calendar when deep traditional rivalries are put aside. Fierce inter-county foes become friends, competitors become comrades. When the best club and county players from every corner of the country line out in their college or university jerseys to play and win together. Teammates for a time, but always first-class rivals. The GAA Higher Education Championships. Proudly sponsored by Electric Ireland.
This week at Dunn Stores, we're treating you to some amazing Valentine's Day value, like our indulgent meal for two deal. That's a main course, a side, and a delicious dessert for just €10, with lots to choose from in each. And with our exclusive €10 off every 50 grocery voucher, you'll save even more as you indulge this Valentine's. Dunn Stores, always better value. See online for terms and conditions, minimum spend required.
Brexit is due to come into effect on the 29th of March, and we've all got to get Brexit ready. Do you operate a company placing products such as machinery on the Irish market using a notified body for conformity checks? Then you may need to change to an EU-based notified body to make sure you can still import such products. The Health and Safety Authority and the Irish National Accreditation Board are getting Ireland Brexit ready. So, To see how your company can make the transition, visit hsa.ie/Brexit. This is an initiative of the Government of Ireland.
In the wrong hands, the violin can sound like a nightmare. But in the right ones, put your Skoda in the hands of our experts. Book your service at skodaservice.ie. The price will also hit the right notes.
It's almost 7 a.m. Time to plan your next summer break with Ryanair. Our largest ever summer schedule is on sale now. Just go to ryanair.com and choose from over 200 destinations. That's summer sorted. Ryanair. Low fares made simple. Limited availability. See ryanair.com.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR, giving your business more savings with our latest broadband and mobile bundles.
This is News Talk.
It's 6:55 and we're joined on the line from London now by Chris Beecham of IG. Chris, the US markets in particular getting a bit of a lift yesterday from what looks like there may not be a US government, second US federal government shutdown, and hopes of trade talks between China and the US.
Yes, although given the last government shutdown saw the S&P go up about 10% over the course of January, perhaps we should be hoping for another one. But it is good to see the potential resolution. But both these issues, of course, hinge on what Donald Trump thinks of both the government shutdown deal and the trade wars. And it looks like he's pushing the trade war deadline beyond the 1st of March, which, again, you can see that both ways, i.e. that he hasn't bothered to find a solution or he's quite happy to let this run and run. And with the shutdown, it still hinges on whether he's happy with the limited amount of funding he gets for that border wall. So it's good news for now. But you get the sense that this is a job half done. I think that's we should be wary of assuming all these issues are just about to disappear from our radar.
Yes, he did indicate last night, as he tends to do, that he might be prepared to let the 1st of March deadline for increased tariffs on Chinese imports slide if it looks like there's real negotiations happening in Beijing this week.
Yes, and that is a fortunate thing to see, and it doesn't mean that we wouldn't get any sort of response from the Chinese in terms of retaliatory tariffs. So it's the hope is that at some point both sides will see sense, and I think he's aware that the trade war was a major problem for markets last year. It does concern us, it does concern people concerned that we'll see weaker growth, not just in the US but elsewhere. We already know that weaker growth in Asia and Eurozone is really a hampering thing. So it will feed back to the US in the end. I think he wants to avoid, as with the shutdown, sort of owning a situation as these growths start to slow and the stock market continue to fall.
Speaking of weaker growth, Chris, your own market, Mark Carney out again yesterday in London warning of the economic shock that will happen, not just in Britain, but principally in the UK, obviously, if there's a no-deal Brexit in 5 or 6 weeks' time. What way does the market think about it now, do you think?
Well, it's still assuming that a no-deal is less likely, I think, and the warnings are still being made, and rightly so. I think given the state of play at the moment, it looks as if while there's no plan to get this withdrawal agreement past Parliament, and so far the changes don't seem to be substantial enough, I think that the sense is now from the sort of second half of February, Parliament will begin to take control to take us further away from the idea of a no-deal Brexit, even if that doesn't mean it seems increasingly likely that delaying Article 50 is the most likely. You had the PM's chief negotiator sounding off in Brussels last night suggesting that that would be the case. That they would actually go for a much longer extension. We would have to, of course, with the European elections looming in May.
Do you think it will be a volatile month for I suppose, more mid-market UK stocks through March as that deadline ticks down?
That's certainly the major problem, is that people continue to be wary about investing in the UK. We saw not just the mid-market, but on the FTSE 100 yesterday, but the bigger stocks, the housing stocks, hit by concerns that no-deal Brexit was perhaps slightly more likely, or at least the deadlock and the lack of progress we've been seeing over the past 6 months, or 2 years, if you like, really, to be honest, is still really hurting confidence in UK assets. We've known this for a while, and it's just the question isn't really going away, and you can't blame investors for saying until we have greater clarity on this, we're not really going to go all out investing in the UK.
Okay, an interesting month ahead. Chris Beecham of IG, thanks for taking our call. That's it from Breakfast Business with Vincent Wall for this morning. I'll be back with bulletins at 7:30 and 8:30. Coming up after the traffic news, it's over to Andrea and Shane with all the stories of the morning on News Talk Breakfast. Stay with us.
News Talk Traffic and Travel.
Thanks to Just Eat. Order to the office or your kitchen.